The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. And he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we hear the third parable from Jesus since he arrived in Jerusalem. And he's made himself known to the chief priests and the Pharisees by turning over the money changers' tables in the temple as they were preparing for the festival. He's healing people in the temple and drawing large crowds to him. The religious leaders have questioned his authority for doing this, and Jesus responds to them in parables over and over again. And while our lesson starts by stating it's a parable, consensus among biblical scholars is that this scripture is more of an allegory and less a parable. They suggest that the author of the Gospel of Matthew is writing from a place of division within his first century Jewish community between those that are disciples of Jesus, whom they believe to be the Messiah, and those that aren't. It's a difficult time in their history. The temple is in ruins after being destroyed by the government, and the people live under heavy rule. Now, by definition, an allegory is an expression by means of symbolic fictional figures and actions of truths or generalizations about human nature. Now, I'm going to read that again because it's a lot. An allegory is an expression by means of symbolic fictional figures and actions of truth or generalizations about human nature. And this allegory we're about to talk about, what I'm going to talk about, is hard to follow. It starts out, as many of Jesus' parables do, comparing something commonly understood to us with the kingdom of heaven. And in this case, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. And from here it gets weird, and the characters behave in ways that are odd, even absurd. First, there are the guests invited to the wedding feast, a party for the king's son's marriage. So the king sends out his messengers to let them know all is ready, but none come. So he tries again. He sends out the messengers and says, listen, everything is prepared. It's ready to go. Come join the party. But they make light of it. In fact, some go off to do other things. It seems odd that they would make light of an invitation by their king. And even odder that some of these guests respond by beating and killing the king's messengers. Quite the over-the-top reaction. Then the king retaliates with even more violence. Violence against his guests and their cities, all the while somehow keeping the food and drink ready for the party. And after killing them, the king deems the initial invited guests unworthy and sends his messengers out again, this time to gather guests from the streets, anyone and everyone, good and bad, whomever they find. When the banquet hall is full, the king surveys the room and sees one guest amongst this large banquet hall who has somehow gotten into the hall without a wedding robe. He reacts by calling this person friend and then throwing him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So going with the scholars, who are these symbolic figures of Matthew's allegory? Well, many suggest that God is king and Jesus is the son. The wedding banquet is the new covenant of Jesus Christ. The prophets are the abused and killed messengers, and the unworthy guests are the religious leaders. And those guests, good and bad, invited from the streets, are us. So if we follow this scripture as allegory, then who is this symbolic figure of the wedding crasher, the one without a wedding robe? As I read and read and read and read this scripture along with some commentaries and thought about it, I was constantly reminded of a parable of sorts from the world of reality TV, a show entitled What Not to Wear. In this show, the premise is a family member or a friend nominates a person they know and love who they think will benefit from a makeover. Somehow their true self and identity is being concealed by their uninspired choice in clothes, hair, and makeup. And that unsuspecting person is secretly followed and captured on film for 2 weeks. And the show hosts, experts in style, watch the films, sizing up and critiquing the person's fashion choices, all for us. Sometimes their critique is pretty harsh and hurtful. Those jeans make her behind look huge. He looks jauntiest in that yellow shirt. Get rid of the Birkenstocks. Please, Birkenstop. They say things about the person's inability to honestly look at themselves or to see themselves as they could be and how they are good examples of what not to wear. So once evaluated, the person is set up by these family and friends to be at a specific place and time to be taken by surprise at the appearance of the hosts announcing that their family and friends love them so much they have nominated them for a makeover by a show called What Not to Wear. And once the hosts appear and the chosen person is thoroughly surprised, they're offered a choice. Remain as they are, or agree to get rid of all their clothes, accept the help of the experts, and receive a $5,000 Visa card to buy a whole new wardrobe. A wardrobe that will serve to better represent them to the world. Without an acceptance of the offer, there wouldn't be a show, So we watch as they accept this offer. It's not always very gracious. Sometimes they're truly embarrassed and overwhelmed. But with all these people around them who are encouraging them, how could they not say yes? So now they're under the control and tutelage of the experts. And in the scenes that follow, the new pupil proceeds to show them their current wardrobe. And the experts proceed to throw all their clothes right in the trash with disdain and sometimes disgust. New outfits are presented, and the specific aspects of style that would diminish the negative and accentuate the positive are pointed out to them. And when we see these well-chosen clothes on them, this person radiates a joyful and confident presence. There's a transformation going on here. And once the lessons are over, the newly styled and educated person is sent out into the world to shop, while being filmed, of course. And in many episodes, this person who has seen and felt this experience of a better way to dress goes right to the clothes that are familiar, comfortable, and the way they dressed before. The experts are closely watching, and they get pretty miffed. They wonder why this person doesn't embrace their gift of a new way, a way that offers something better and life-changing. The experts eventually step in, guiding and helping this lost person make better choices of what to wear. This parable of the reality show may be about clothing, but it is also about human nature. We like what is familiar, comfortable, and easy, don't we? We often go back to having it our own way, even when we see and know how our lives can be changed for the better. So I ask again, who is this wedding crasher? Well, we are. When we choose familiar and comfortable, we are like the wedding crasher from our gospel lesson. We accept the invitation to the banquet, yet we don't want to wear the wedding robe. We accept the gift offered by Jesus for a new life. Yet, we want to be in control of how we live. Matthew's scriptural allegory, with all its absurdity, as well as my parable, reminds us that being disciples of Jesus Christ is not easy. Yet it is the way of living as the kingdom of heaven, now and forever. It reminds us that we will, at times, reject God's ways in favor of ours. And when we do, we are not alone. We share the banquet hall with generations of people, starting with Matthew's community, to our own Calvary community, and beyond, good and bad, who God invites to take part in the feast, invites to a new life over and over again. And we are helped by the power of the Holy Spirit, this gathering of worship, of repentance, confession, forgiveness, the communion in the body of Christ, and the knowledge that Jesus will come again. So let's put on the wedding robe. Clothes that fit who God intends us to be, and be transformed from within. Let's wear it as people of love, mercy, kindness, compassion, and generosity in our thoughts, words, and actions towards others for all to see. That's what to wear as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.